thank you guys for leading us in worship today. We owe a debt of thanks, church, to this team here, and week by week, even as we have had two services for a while, our sound team up in the balcony and many others, Miss Vicky, Erica, Trey, we got people sitting in the balcony sacrificially to open up space on the floor. Just so many people have been so faithful and done double duty, and I just want to personally share a word of thanks to all you guys. Much of this work is unseen. It's unseen work, but it means the world to your church, and a lot of things we do wouldn't happen without those folks. Would you just thank them with me? Just give them a hand and say thank you for... Our poor worship team's been doing it without coffee, too. We've closed the coffee bar to keep people safe, and that's why they've been so miserable the last few weeks. Sorry, just kidding. Anyway, we're going to look today at Proverbs. We're going to do a little detour from where we've been and look at a proverb in Proverbs 22. Proverbs was written by a man named Solomon. This was the son of the famous King David. And Solomon lived a long life and amassed much riches and much fame and kingdom and political treaties and power. And he had all of this. And at the end of his life, he wrote a couple of books and that are in our Bible. And Proverbs is one of those. And as we see here today, he gives us a little bit of a warning about what it means to have a good name. He's telling his children and future generations all the way down to current day, he's warning them about his own experience in his life. When I was a little boy, my grandparents had a magazine at their house. They got it all the time. It was called Reminisce. Anybody know that magazine, Reminisce? It was an old magazine, and it just talked about the old days. It had things like lemonade stands, talked about Andy Griffith a lot. It was just a reminisce magazine for people my grandparents' age. And it talked about the things of America during their childhood. And I remember reading that book, that magazine, when it would come in over there. And every issue of it had a little verse at the bottom. And it always had this one verse on the back page. It said this. It said, a good name. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I always remember, that always stood out to me as a powerful verse and a reminder that there's something that matters more than material life. There's something that matters more, and it was a reminiscence to a time when people more commonly got that character. The inner and deep, many times the hidden qualities in a man or woman meant more than things, than stuff, than gain. And we see that this man Solomon is reminiscing over his life. And he does not like what he sees there. Do you know Solomon? David, his father, was going to build a temple to God. And the Lord came to David and said, no, you're not going to build my temple. A lot of reasons for that. David's sinful past, perhaps. The way that God had been treated by the nation. A lot of reasons are given. But he comes to his father David and says, no, 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 no. You're not going to build my temple. But I will raise one up after you. There will be a son to come to you who will build a temple that is grand to my name. This was Solomon, a child of favor, a child of promise. He did build the temple. But as he looked back and saw that he had started in promise, he had to see that all he had done since then was wrong and wayward. He had sought after the wrong things. And as he reminisces over his life, he tells us, he tells all who will listen, please be watchful, because a good name is rather to be chosen than all these riches, than great riches. This verse goes on to say, and loving favor rather than silver or gold. Wow. What a short, powerful little nugget of a verse. Josh and Rachel, I can't help but think of you guys today. And as I prepared this sermon this morning, as you launch off into something so meaningful, I help but think of our young people here today to remember that a good name, a good character is rather to be chosen than great riches, than whatever it is you may thirst for the most. When I was born, the little baby being born in the stall next to me, it was separated by a curtain, according to my mom. And Dr. Drucker was the doctor who delivered me, not the baby who delivered me. That'd be strange. But it was the doctor who delivered me. And on the other side of the curtain, I guess another baby was being born. And my mother overheard the conversation, and the lady had wanted to name her baby Elvis Rock. The last name, Smith, Jones, whatever, Elvis Rock Jones. Elvis was famous and I think maybe had just even died when I was born. And the doctor came in and said, "Ma'am, I'm not signing this birth certificate until you give that child a name he can live with," right? A name means something. A name connects with character. You think of the name Adolf, right? You think of character. Nobody names their kids Adolf anymore or Hitler, right? It means something. You think of the name Dahmer, Jeffrey. Nobody names their child Dahmer anymore. You think of the place Columbine or Waco. Think of the name Einstein. Our names mean something. We have a character attached to them. What kind of name is it that God wants to bless his people with? What is that? What kind of name does he want you to have? I think we see three ways that God wants us to have the right name in this. The first thing is this. I think God wants us to have a name that is good. God wants us to have a good name. This is not talking about your literal name. It's about the character here. It's not to say I want a good name that sounds good, or maybe you hate your middle name, right? We all have weird middle names. Every family takes the worst names in your family history and puts them in the middle, right? We hide our middle names. It's not to say that you want a name that's powerful or that sounds nice, but you a good name here is a name that has the right character. It's not the name you start with that's a good name. It's the name you end with that's the good name. This is what it's telling us here. A good, God's people, God wants to bless you with a good name. He wants to give you a name that testifies of a good character and of the character of God. I was riding down the road the other day behind a motorcycle, guys, a big motorcycle with a big, beefy dude on there and bald head and wearing black leather and all this, and he was rumbling down the road, and he stopped at the red light right in front of me, and the light turned green, and he still sat there. I thought, what's this guy doing? I mean, he was a massive guy. I knew his name must be like Bubba, or a big guy's name, Butch or something. I knew that's what it was, and he didn't go, and I thought, why is he waiting so long? Why am I stuck here? And I saw him putting his hand in his pocket, reaching for something. He pulled it out, and it was a lip balm. And he took the lip balm and just so smoothly just rubbed it on his lips. And I looked a little closer to see, what is he doing? What is that? It was Savannah Bee Company. You know what that is? It's like Burt's Bees, but a lot wimpier, okay? It was a Savannah Bee Company, and I thought, I can't believe that this big guy, Bubba, is using the Savannah Bee, has to stop for just a moment to moisten his lips, right? I mean, it shows you what somebody cares about. He put it back in his pocket, and he took off just in time for me to sit through another red light and wait behind him. But I thought that was kind of a funny thing because I changed his name after that. At first, I thought it was Bubba or Butch. After that, I thought it must be something like Pip. I don't know. I mean, it's just something little. And a name connects with the character. It means something about you. It means something about me. Your name is what you care about, what you pursue, what you invest in. I never would have thought he would have cared about that type of a thing. But he did. What do you care about? See, you don't end up with a good name, by pursuing easy things or light things. You don't end up with a good name, a name of character, by pursuing things that don't matter. Your name is a direct reflection of what matters the most to you. What means the most to you this morning? If you could reflect for just a moment, if you could be honest with yourself, not your best self, but your honest self, and look and say, my name is defined by what matters to me. What matters to me? What does my checking account say matters to me? When you look at that online statement and you see what goes out, that tells the story of what matters to you. What does my time say matters to me? If you had a list of time expenditures, what would it say about your name? What would it say about your character? God wants us to have a good name. And if you want to practice that, if you want to have a good name, not what you start with, but what you end with, like Solomon, if you want to have a good name, start making choices for what matters. Maybe not what has mattered to you, but what matters to God, a good name. But the Lord also wants to bless his people with a chosen name. What is supposed to happen here? This good name just doesn't come about on its own. It doesn't happen automatically. It is to be chosen. And Solomon would have had to look back at his life and say, hey, I chose women. He had many, many women in his life. I chose politics. I chose power. I chose kingdom. I chose wealth. I chose all of these things when I could have had a good name. I could have chosen differently. If I'd only chosen differently, somebody told me once that, I said, Matthew, 100 attaboys, you know what an attaboy is, you get patted on the back, you know, you did a good job. 100 attaboys can all be wiped away by one oh boy. Have you ever heard that? All that you've done can be wiped away in a single moment by a choice. And there's a choice to be made here. It's hard for us to choose sometimes. There's so much for us to choose from in this life. And there's so much in this life that attracts us, that convinces us that it is a part of the good name. It looks good enough. But God's not interested in that. God wants us to choose wisely. After I moved here, it wasn't long that you guys started telling me about Jaymore Farms right up the road. And we needed an outing one day, and so we went there, and we love Jaymore Farms. We go there all the time. It's got, you know, produce and boiled peanuts. And one thing they have that's better than anything is ice cream. And they have three flavors of ice cream, peach and strawberry, and I think vanilla might be the other one. You go to Jaymore Farms, and it's hard to choose. And so when I go to the ice cream counter, guess what? I just don't choose. I just say, we'll take one of each, right? And a cake, too. And I say, you want us to wrap that up for you? No, we're going to sit right here and eat this cake. I mean, we eat the cake and the ice cream, and they've got cream cheesecake, they've got strawberry cake, they've got bread, different kind of breads. Every time I go there, it's a nightmare because you have to choose. We went yesterday to Jaymore. I found goat's milk soap. They had a made in Toccoa, Georgia, a whole thing of goat's milk soap, different flavors, different scents. I filled up a whole bag of different. I wanted every flavor, not flavor, or every aroma, every scent of goat's milk soap. And I realized after I had packed my bag full, it was over $100 of goat's milk soap. I didn't buy it. I put it all back. But it's hard to choose. It's hard to choose sometimes. There's so many options. There's more options for us than ever before. God wants us to look at the things that mean something. He wants us to calculate our lives, and he wants us to choose the good things, the things of a good character. Listen, it's not a choice between good things and bad things. That's often not what really trips us up. That's often not what Solomon would look back on and say, oh, I messed up big time. It's a choice between good things and okay things. Good things, the best things of God, and get by things. It's the priceless versus the cheap. It's the enduring versus the fading. It's the self versus sacrifice. It's comfort versus purpose. It's the immediate versus the lasting. It's truth versus popularity. It's a choice, my friends. It's a choice maybe between family and fortune, a choice between convenience or conviction. It's a choice between me or the mission. It's a choice for the deep things or for the distracting, the easy or the eternal. These are the choices of a good name. And you don't choose the name. We don't make a choice for the name. You choose the life that makes the name. And you don't choose it once. You choose it a million times. Moment by moment, we're choosing our name. God wants us to have a chosen name. But lastly, God wants to bless his people with a blessed name. He wants to bless them with a blessed name. Solomon's warning here is not a rigid, dogmatic. This is not God enforcing his will on us. This is a gentle and a kind warning. I love the song we sang this morning, His Mercy is More. This is the mercy of God here. This is a father, Solomon, looking back on his life and saying, oh, please don't do what I've done. This is not a chastisement. It's a plea. This is a plea to his children. It's a plea to the generations. It's a plea to 2020. It's a plea to you. It's a plea to me today in these seats, on this road, in this church. Solomon would look at us if he could and he would say, oh, please don't wind up like I have wound up. There's no fulfillment in a life poorly chosen. I thought I wanted all these things and I was good at it and I got it. And I succeeded more than I ever imagined I would. He's sitting on a heap of riches as he tells us this, and a heap of regret. This is the loving word of a father pleading with his children, don't do what I have done. You've said this before. I'd give anything if I could, right? Or maybe you put it this way, what I wouldn't give to just, you name it, right? I love watching AFV, America's Funniest Home Videos, with my kids and my family. And there's nights that Reese will say, can I go to Josiah's? It's starting to get late, summertime, it's 9 o'clock. I say, hey, why don't we cozy in and watch an AFV? He said, Dad, please, I want to go to Josiah's. There's times that Olivia will say, Dad, can I FaceTime my cousin on the phone? I say, hey, I thought we'd kind of cozy in the living room and watch an AFV. And they roll their eyes at me or they don't want to do it. And as a good dad, I have rehearsed and polished my guilt trip, and you should too. And so I say, I look at them in the most pitiful face I can, and I say, listen, there's going to be a day sometime in your life when you're going to think, if I could just watch one more AFV with Dad, I'll be in the ground, and you'll think, oh, if I could just watch one more AFV with my old dad. They still don't come and watch it with me, but I tried my best, but you felt that way before. I'd give anything if I could just have an ice cream from the cream shack in my hometown from when I was a kid. I'd give anything for the smell of my granddad's old pickup truck driving down the road, taking brush to the dump after working in his yard. Boy, what I wouldn't give for a stroll down the street hand in hand one more time. You'd give anything. That's the message, right? When you say that, you're saying, I'd give anything to be able to go back to my hometown and have a taste of that ice cream, to see him or her again, to sense that smell again of, of childhood and safety, and you'd give anything. You think all you've gotten instead, and you think, I'd trade it all. That's what Paul. That's what Solomon is saying here. I would give anything. There's a warning here. It is rather to be chosen than great riches and power and women and influence and fame. It's rather to be chosen than wealth today, guys. It's rather to be chosen than entertainment. It's rather to be chosen than political anger. A good name is rather to be chosen. That's the message here. I'd give anything. I'd give anything. As he sits on a pile of riches and regret. All that I've amassed. Oh God. If I could, I would. But he couldn't. And so the best that this man can do is to look lovingly into our eyes and say, I can't go back, but oh, please, seek the right things. You see, there are no do-overs to a life poorly chosen. There's no do-overs, but there is no revoking the blessings of a good name. You see, there's retrospect. You can look back, but there's no retroaction. You can't go back. And this man wants us to know today, to walk from here today and pray to the Lord, God, help me to have a good name. What matters most in all of this about our names is one thing that the New Testament tells us. If we could say one thing today, we'd have to say this. What matters the most is whether or not your name is written today in what the Bible calls the Lamb's Book of Life. This is a tribute to salvation, right? It basically means, are you saved? The Bible says in Revelation 3:5, the one who conquers will be clothed thus in a white garment. You know what that means? You're given a good name by Jesus. You're saved. Your sin is washed away, as Trey pointed us to in Isaiah chapter 6 today. You're purged. You're clean. And I will never, Revelation says, blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We have done several funerals this week, and we have more to come. But twice already, I've stood over across the road under the green tents and glanced back over here and seen our steeple with the cross on top. I see those graves over there, and they're facing what direction? East. They're facing east, anticipating the day of Christ's coming. When the Bible tells us that it will be in the east. You know, heard old preachers say that he'll break through the eastern sky. They're facing the east so that they can greet the coming of the Lord Jesus. The cross on top of our steeple faces east so that when Christ returns, his church will greet him with his cross. Do you see that? I want to know of you today. I want to ask the question of you. When Christ comes again, when he returns, what of your life will greet the Lord Jesus? Will he see the covering of his cross because you've gone to him for salvation? Will he see the makings of a good name because you've chosen wisely? What of your life will greet Jesus when he returns? The good news is this. Solomon was at the end. But for us today, his warning gives us a chance to repent. It gives us a chance to do it right, to do it better, and to honor his plea. And so in a moment, we're going to sing a song. Trey's going to come lead us. And as we sing, I offer you a chance to respond in any way you need to. Okay? It may be nothing we've talked about today at all. But there's business you know you need to do with God. Don't ignore the voice of the Spirit. When you come today, I offer you the chance to be saved. You say, Matthew, I don't know how to do that. but I feel the Lord leading me there. You come and we'll talk you through it. We won't embarrass you. We won't put you on the spot, but we'll celebrate with you. We'll stand with you, okay? Maybe you need to come for prayer. I'll be happy to pray with you. If you're comfortable with that, I am. If you need to pray in private, I'll respect your privacy, okay? But I invite you to come. This is between you and God. It's on your terms and His. You come if you're called, all right? Let's stand and let's sing together.